what's your connection to hockey? What's your interest in the game?
See, I've been covering hockey for the last 10 years now, and been in the thick and thin of hockey, covering tournaments, not just in India, but globally as well. The last tournament I covered was the London Hockey World League semi-finals. I was there. So, and all the drama that happened, it happened all, I was in the thick of it, so I know quite a bit about it. And that's my connection with hockey, in the sense that I played hockey in at the school level as well. So that's how the crush developed. For a brief moment, it shifted to cricket for obvious reasons. You can't be spared by cricket when you're in India. But yeah, I managed to sail through and kept my crush going for hockey, and now I am largely reporting on hockey, but I can't say exclusively on hockey, but you can say that 70% of my work is hockey.
It would be very, very hard to balance out the views of all of the state associations involved in Hockey India. Boy, oh boy, you know, there's a lot of people that want to have their say at the table, isn't there?
Yeah, a lot of them. Not many of them get heard, that's one point.
So is that based on past success? Is it based on the amount of players that you provide for the international teams?
So it's basically because the federation is ruled by or governed by one man than a group of men. That's basically the reason.
Is that transferred up to higher levels in hockey as well, Jazz?
No, what I can say is that since Dr. Batra has become the president, things are not going really well for India, unfortunately, and we didn't see that happen.
And we can't understand it. It just seems to be a very, very strange turn.
Very strange, because Mr. Batra, who had such a good relation with Negre and FIH and all that, and having seen that and having seen that grow, and FIH giving FIH recognized event to India every year since 2012.
Yeah.
It's very strange to see this happening, because we only saw that the relation is only going to get strengthened with Mr. Batra at the helm.
Yeah.
But instead it's going the other way around, exactly opposite. We are not part of the Hockey Pro League. Then there was that incident in London. And then there was a complaint against Pakistan and all that. Nothing positive. Everything was downslide and negative.
Yes, yeah. But there didn't seem to be any major statements coming out of Hockey India. There was lots of unnamed parties commenting on it. But
see, what we have to give Dr. Batra credit also. Since 2010, when he became the Hockey India secretary, Indian hockey has only gone up. I know the performances have been inconsistent. We have had five foreign coaches coming and going, and all that happening. But we have to give Dr. Batra credit that he made Hockey India one of the most professional run government organizations or government recognized federations in India. Not many of the federations who work under the government of India are functioning as well as Hockey India, and that's because how Dr. Batra made it professional, bringing in a CEO and a lot of other staff that's taking care of every minute details. So that credit has to go to Dr. Batra, I guess.
So what's the background of Dr. Batra? Because he's, like you've just said, he's obviously a very good organizer. So what does he have a commercial background?
He's a very good administrator as well. He's a lawyer by profession, so right. He knows inside out of how things should work and should not work, and he's been doing according to that. But I feel that the delegation of responsibility could have been a bit more than it is. It should have trickled down. The responsibilities should have trickled down to a number of people, then rather limiting it to one or two or three.
Yeah.
Is this apparent stunting of India's hockey growth, Jazz, directly linked to Dr. Batra moving to the FIH? Is it almost as if from that moment things changed?
No. That's not right. Okay. It's part of it, but it's not entirely, because Dr. Batra is not playing on the field. So what happens on the field, that's limited to the 11 players who are on it, and the others who are part of the squad, plus the coaches and the other background staff. So that's their responsibility. Dr. Batra can't control things that happen on the field. So to say that India have lost to Malaysia of late, and Canada also, and they aren't playing as well as they were, say, last year, it won't be right to say that Dr. Batra's move to FIH is responsible for that. In fact, it has nothing to do with what's happening on the field. It's a more hate-hate relationship than love-hate relationship. Because things have never been on a very constructive or a very friendly table as far as India and Pakistan are concerned. And it only becomes more fragile and more more fragile and very more brittle when incidents like soldiers being martyred on the LOC line of control happens, and then when there is a chance for to show friendliness, players from Pakistan come to Bhubaneswar and make those lewd gestures that they did, and it all spoiled everything. I think that incident, and Dr. Batra is very right in being very against Pakistan after that, because during that tournament, if Pakistan had not done that, it could have improved the relations. I'm not taking into consideration what happens on the LOC between the two armed forces.
Yeah, keep it on the sporting level.
yeah, because of course that is not acceptable. But that's not something that we can make comments on. We can only keep it on sport. So, but Dr. Batra was very right in feeling offensive, as did every Indian who was there or who was watching that match. What Pakistan players did, I was sitting in the media enclosure during that tournament. They made such lewd gestures, such obscene gestures towards the media and a section of the crowd, taking off their shirts, which was entirely not expected. It was not warranted, and it should not have happened.
So, so could you see any motivation on their part for doing that?
See, whatever motivation that have, I don't know the inside story about it. Of course, animosity is always there, but you have to control your horses when you are playing for your country, you are representing your country, you are as an ambassador of your country in another country, you have to behave accordingly. I'm sure words must have been exchanged on the field, but what happens on the field or what happens in the locker room stays in the locker room. It doesn't come out of there. So that's where Pakistan were found guilty, and I was also very surprised of a very lenient view taken by FIH of that tournament, because in the pictures, if you see, go back and see the pictures, there were at least 7-8 players who were seen making those gestures, but only 2 or 3 of them were reprimanded or suspended for a match, which did not actually affect Pakistan much. So I completely support Dr. Batra on taking a very strong view of that, and he's still very adamant that Pakistan should write an apology on that incident. Only then things can be back on track.
We'll move on a little bit. I read your piece on Hockey Village India and with regard to grassroots hockey.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure.
Tell us about the Hockey Village India project and some of the stumbling blocks that it's come across, and what your thoughts are on that and grassroots development in India.
See, Hockey Village India is a 7-year-old project which is going on in India by a former hockey player, German hockey player, Andrea Thompson. She started a foundation, I suppose, in Germany, got it registered there, and then opened an NGO in Rajasthan in the same name in 2011, I guess. So she set up initially at a village called Garh Himmat Singh, and then after some funding issues in terms of fudging and all, she had to move out from there and move to another village called Jetwara. But there also she got duped in a land purchase deal, in the end of which she had to pay extra to get the land back in her name, and finally decided when the villagers also started to coup against her on being sweet-talked by one of the school owners there, she decided to move out, and I suppose she's already in Coorg now trying to find something that she can set up there. So the sad part, see, these things keep happening in India. These kind of complaints keep coming in. People try to benefit themselves by their vested interests. I suppose that's what happened with Andhra. But the thing is that the understanding of the people at the micro level in India as regards to sport is nothing to shout about, and grassroots sports in India, not just hockey, I'm not just talking about hockey, but any other sport, it won't improve unless the people understand that sport is part of the culture. It's not just education. Every child can't be a scholar. A child has to have a certain degree of other skills which he might be good in, and that could be sports. So unless he's given that option, you can't know. So that kind of awareness is not there in India, which is what I think hit Andrea's project, along with some of the bad influences that Hockey Village India had during its stay in Rajasthan. So that all of these combined, and at the end of it, her effort of 7 years at a particular place got wasted. And I think in India the problem is that children are introduced to sport saying that you have to play for India.
Yeah.
That's not the correct approach. Not every kid can play for India. Sport has to be introduced as something that's about your well-being. In the course of time, it can become a career option. That's the way to introduce it, that it's for your well-being, for your health, and for your holistic growth.